Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Rider Club Radio. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And as always, we are the only podcast that you should listen to about tokusatsu. Just stop listening to all the rest.
Only podcast you should listen to, period. I know you guys listen to Shit Town or Nerdist or whatever you guys like, whatever shitty ass.
It's my brother, my mother, and my son.
M-Class.
Go fuck themselves.
Get all those out of here.
Yeah, no M-Class podcast? Fuck that shit.
Yeah, it's garbage.
I hear one of the guys that hosts it is a giant fucking asshole, and the other one's Josh.
Oh, I was just about to... Oof.
I cut you off, bitch. Anyway, this week we watched Kamen Rider X8 episode 26, I think.
Yes.
Kamen Rider Fives episodes 34, 35, and 36... And Kamen Rider Amazons episode 14. We watched a lot of shit this time, Liam.
I forgot Amazons was coming out this week.
It completely caught me by surprise. I just saw the tweet saying that it was up.
Yeah, it's like when a movie's coming out that you like, and you're just... Like, with Star Wars The Force Awakens, I had the same thing, where I was just so used to the idea of, like, oh yeah, this is, like, years away. I had this idea of Amazon season 2 in my head, like, it's like 6 months from now. Oh, shit, it's here. It's here now.
It's like 0 months from now, it's because it's here, bitch.
Negative 2 days from now. So we watched 14 this week. It was a shock.
Yes. It was out of nowhere for both of us. Before we get there, before we get to Amazons, let's start with Kamen Rider X8 episode 26.
Okay, so episode 26... of X-Aid. The Health Ministry comes out and says, hey, this Kamen Rider Chronicle game can kill you, so we're going to ban it. We're going to recall it.
They don't say it can kill you.
They say it may lead to complications with your health.
Yeah, it's like you get the game disease or whatever, but apparently nobody knew that the game disease murders the shit out of you if it's not cured.
No.
That was under wraps. That was a big secret.
So we're going to recall the whole thing, taking it all back. And Emu wants to go out and act. He says, we gotta go out and help these people. We gotta go fight. Help them fight. And the health ministry man, whose name I don't remember, says, hey, don't do that. Emu, the riders don't want to cause a mass panic. We can't let the news break that everyone's dying. We can't have the riders out there fighting bad guys. We have to keep everybody calm. So don't do anything. Sit in the office. Sit in the office with your one single ride player patient downstairs. And don't take on any others. The ride player patient comes upstairs and he says, yeah, I'm tired of sitting around. I'm a literal superhero now. So he snatches his copy of Kamen Rider Chronicle,
stops him from picking it up.
Yeah, they don't keep it in a lockbox or anything. They just have it on a table and he just snatches it and says, I'm getting out of here. And Emu's like, you're going to die. You're literally going to die. And he says, I'm really good at video games. Don't worry. I have confidence. I'm fucking great at Minecraft. This will go fine. So he leaves. And Emu tries to help him. He goes with him and he says, okay, if you're going to fight Salty the Wizard and cure your disease, I'll at least come and help you.
This kid's like, fucking, I beat Battletoads. And Emu's like, whoa, alright, I guess you're good. Go ahead.
I fucking bet Emu couldn't beat Battletoads.
Fucking, Emu probably doesn't know what Battletoads is.
That's true.
He's like 12 years old.
He's 13 years old. So the guy goes to fight Salty. Emu tries to help him, but Poppy appears and says, riders aren't allowed to help players. That's not how the game works. And she is really strong. She kicks Emu's ass and she kicks Snipe's ass.
She turns into Kamen Rider Poppy.
Mm-hmm.
Her power level during this scene is wildly fluctuating. Like, at points it seems like Emu is a perfect match for her. And then at other points it seems like no one can lay a finger on her. Because, I mean, Snipe shoots the shit out of her, right? And it seems like, oh, Snipe's a match or whatever. But then she just does a big old flip and, like, is like, nah.
Nah. Her level is plot.
Yeah. Her level is NPC character that punishes you if you break the rules of the game.
she comes to fuck you up. So she kicks everyone's asses. And Emily's like, oh my god, Poppy, you're a friend! And she's like, nope. And she does a quadruple back somersault and teleports away. And Parrot appears. Parrot appears and says, hey, let me explain myself. I feel like I owe you guys an explanation. See, we Bucksters, we're video game characters, and you guys have been fighting us all your lives, just for funsies. So we're gonna come out here and fight you for funsies. That's our whole deal. Fuck yourselves.
Yeah, we're gonna fight you to death for funsies. Also, Poppy was originally an evil Bugster and shit. You probably should have known that, because all Bugsters are like that, right?
He even says...
Except Burger Man.
Except Burger Man, the exception. He even says, hey, all Bugsters become Bugsters by killing their patients. Poppy's no exception.
Yeah, and fucking... He's like, well, Poppy was our friend, and Perrin's like, nah.
No, she was brainwashed to be your friend. It's different.
She was reprogrammed to be your friend for a while, but we just erased that save data, so...
You're fucked.
Fuck you. I thought it was really strange that they say fuck you in a children's television series, but Japan's got different rules.
I mean, yeah, kids' shows get a little more mature there. They throw out the word. Sometimes, aside here, sometimes translators throw the word fuck into the sentence even though no one's saying a swear word.
It's like, Japan does not have the word fuck, right?
Not a literal one-to-one, yeah.
They have words that are like, this is a harsh word.
Mm-hmm.
This is a harsh version of a word. And translators are like, well, this is cool and adult for adults like me, so he's saying fuck.
It happens a couple times with the TV Nihon version of Fies, where a character would be like, Fusakana! And the translation would be like, don't fuck with me! And it's like, holy, what? Like, the word fuck...
It's don't mess with me.
Yeah, the word fuck is it's in there like twice... Which is so jarring to have it just, like, in Amazon's episode 1, it's everywhere, which is fine, but...
And don't fucking fuck with me, you fuck.
You fucking Amazons.
Takumi says... Well, it's like in O's, fucking Ankh, in the translation, in, like, the subs, is just saying fuck every word or whatever. And I'm like, I'm almost certain. Like, I don't know a whole lot about Japanese culture, right?
Mm.
But I'm fairly certain that this children's character, this Birdman... on the television show, is it screaming fuck every other word?
I don't know, man.
Big Bird is yelling fuck on Sesame Street in Japan.
I don't know, modern Sesame Street's pretty different.
It's a pretty Sesame Street reboot by Michael Bay.
The Sesame Street reboot, my Ninja Theory. So Parrot explains all that, he disappears, he gives his little speech and he fucks off. And all the ride players start texting each other. They're like, hey, listen, we can't trust the Ministry of Health. We can't trust the CR. They're not going to help us. They're not allowed to help us. They're hiding away in their pit.
Here's some great writing, right? Some legit great writing is that this guy overhears the Minister of Health or whatever being like, yeah, you guys can't help them. I want you to hang out and not do anything. And he's like, you know what? Fuck that. We have to stand up and do something for ourselves if nobody else is.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to defeat those Bugsters or we're all going to die.
So
that's 100% understandable, believable character motivation.
Mm-hmm. Any normal person would do that. He gathers the ride players. He goes, like, all over the internet and manages to gather, like, 6 people together for this a little jamboree with it.
The entire internet. There's 6 of them.
You know, maybe this game didn't sell so well.
Maybe not.
He gathers every single ride player in the history of the universe together on the abandoned warehouse. It's like the abandoned construction site. Yeah. And they go fight fucking the wizard man, Salty the Wizard.
Salty and the Wizard.
Salty and the Wizard. And, Salty's like a magician. No. And Alambra is the wizard.
Salty's not a magician, he's just a salt shaker man.
Well, he's got like a top hat that makes me think he's a magician. It's his top hat.
He's a fancy man.
I bet he could pull off the top hat and get a fucking rabbit out of that if he wanted to.
I'm gonna pull a fucking lawsuit out of my hat on you if you don't fucking back off.
What are you gonna sue me for, huh, asshole?
I'm gonna sue you for being a dick.
I have been nailed on that before.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I remember that stint in jail.
Yeah, yeah. The court order says I can't make too many puns now.
I fucking wish that was true.
So they're all going to fight Salty and Alambra, and they obviously understand, like, they're shit-rocked because they're level 1. And finally, the Ministry says, you know what?
No, but Emu comes up first, and he's like, we can't let these people die by inaction. We have to save as many of them as we can, even if they don't want to be saved. And the guy's like, you want to save us? Fuck you, you prick! And he's like, well, I'm going to save as many of you as I can. And he's like, you're a fucking asshole, stupid.
Yeah, I hate you. Boop de boop. They're like Marvel citizens.
Yeah, and Emu's like, no, I'm going to save you anyway. And they're like, you got a small dick, asshole.
They're throwing empty beer cans and banana peels at him. No, wait.
fucking parents didn't love you.
How did you know
that? And Emu's like, you know, fucking fine. He transforms, and Parrot's like, Emu, you can't do that. I'm gonna kick your ass. And Emu's like, nah, I got ultimate power. And also Brave and Snipe show up.
Because they also want to help.
They walk in from off screen.
They walk in from off screen because they want to join the fight.
Liam's favorite.
My favorite thing about X-Aid.
There's a big fight scene. There's explosions. And Emu does, like, shows that he has a regular body inside the suit.
Yeah, he jumps out of the suit.
He can, like, shoot out.
Yeah. And then
which
the suit
is
kind of
cool, actually.
The suit's like an auto-vajin. It just, like, goes on its own. And then he jumps back into it.
It's like an auto-vagina.
It's like an auto, just like Fize's bike, the auto-vagina. And, so the Ministry
I'm nowhere near the first person to make that joke, but I fucking love that joke.
It doesn't matter.
The auto-vagina.
It's inspired by Emu, the Ministry of Health says, you know what, we'll come right clean. If you play Kamen Rider Betrayed War,
Genesis,
you'll die. You will die. And everyone's
you
like,
will
oh no.
Disappear, and it will also cause you to die. I love how they explain
you'll
that.
You'll disappear, leading to your death. People die when they're killed. And so everyone's like, oh shit, so the truth is clear now, and they're gonna restrict use of the game, and hopefully people will stop playing it. But in the meantime, the Riders beat all the villains, they beat everyone up, and they get all the Ride players to hand their Gashats back. They're like, here you go, we don't want to die, we don't want any part of this, that was a close call, you can take it. So Dan the Fat Man appears, and he says, hey, like back at his hideout, it's like an abandoned server room now or something. And he's like, well, shit, everyone knows now. That was... Actually, we probably should have seen this coming, just an instant ban as soon as people started dying. But we have a secret. The game's got a secret, and no one's going to be able to stop playing once they figure it out. Do-do-do. So, Jeff, what did you think of Kamen Rider X8 Episode 26?
It's good shit.
It's very good shit. I liked it a lot.
It's good shit. It's great shit. I'm really enjoying the storyline.
As much as... It's funny, when we describe it, when we, like, go through it, we always nitpick and make fun of everything, but this is a great episode. I liked it a lot.
Oh, yeah. I really love this episode. I love that Emu finds his resolve in this new world. It's, like, I hate to call it a new world, everything's completely different now.
It's a new status quo, is what it is in that
world.
He
finds his resolve in this new status quo and figures out what he's going to do. Regardless of what CR says, regardless of what the Ministry of Health says, he is going to save people.
Regardless of what the people he's saving says.
Yeah, he is going to protect their smiles.
One thing I loved, when I knew I was going to like this episode, last week I said, wait, the Ministry of Health is a branch of the government. Why don't they just ban the game? Fucking first thing that happens in this episode.
Yeah, it's so... It was actually, like, legitimately stupid, though, that they're like, we don't want to cause a mass panic. Let's just not tell them that the game will kill them if they use it. Ban it and be like, well, it's bad.
If the Food and Drug Association of America came out tomorrow and said, hey, look at this soup, this particular brand of soup, stop fucking eating it. I wouldn't need them to give me a reason. I'd just stop eating it.
If this soup turned me into a superhero while I was fucking eating it, it might be a different story.
Look, it's like a drug. You feel awesome while you're using it, but there's side effects.
Like, if you eat this soup, it's like fucking black tar heroin right into your fucking veins.
But also you get sick.
You're gonna get well, unlike black tar heroin, this makes you sick.
Unlike the perfectly clean and safe black tar heroin.
It's a different world, Liam.
It's a different world. Look, I get it. I get, though, there's always that reason in superhero stories or in, like, a lot of modern stories where, like, we gotta keep it quiet from the public. We don't want to cause a panic. And it's,
what would be even more of a panic?
What?
Is if one of these motherfuckers dies and the news catches it.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be far worse. They'd that's be true. Like, did you know about this Ministry of Health? And they'd be like, no.
No, we thought it just gave you a tummy ache.
We thought it just, you know, made you flicker. We didn't know it made you disappear.
Well, it's good that he reveals it by the end of the episode, then, because he was looking at a crisis. He was looking at a Tokimeki crisis.
He's legitimately just like, fuck it! It kills you!
Well, it's the right choice. He's inspired by this callow youth Emu and his unflinching desire to save every patient.
I love the middleman that's next to him, like the assistant. It's like, Chief, you can't!
Don't do it, dude!
It's like, the cameras are on, buddy. They heard what he said.
He's going to stop and be like, actually, I was just kidding.
Just playing.
Just an outburst. I've been drinking, folks. Just write that
I should probably retire now. This episode is fucking great, though. There's a ton of great moments. The one that really hooks me, right, that I'm really looking forward to more than anything else, is Graphite walks out on Steiner. And he's like, hey, I'm still alive. If you want to fight me, play Kamen Rider Chronicle and win. So now Snipe has a motivation as a character again.
And he's not just going to be, like, he's not just going to be fighting other people for the Gashats. He wants to play the game. He's going to join the Ride players and try and beat the Bugsters, which is cool. It's
like, Emu and Brave, what the fuck is his name?
Hero.
Like, Emu and Hero are like, that's such a simple name and I forgot it. What the fuck?
It's literally an English word.
Yeah, Hero. Emu and Hero are trying to stop the game. That is their main goal. And Snipe wants to play the game. Like, he's been lured into it by fucking false promises. He's gone to the dark side. He wants to play the game.
Do you think Hero is going to play the game once he realizes Graphite is in?
Maybe.
Because he wants Graphite dead as much as Snipe does. Maybe more.
Maybe he'll never find out until it's too late.
Maybe never.
Which would be much better, I think.
Yeah. Maybe.
If, like, he only found out when Snipe got to the level with Graphite in it. And Graphite appears, and Brave's like, but what?
Well, I only beat Salty, I'm not there yet. What the hell?
God damn it, you stay up all night playing this game while I'm trying to sleep? Some of us have a job.
And I liked the bit with the Ride players. It was very, like you said, it felt relatively speaking realistic for this series. For these,
yeah,
like it really is like a bunch of people playing a video game. They're like, let's all get together here and do a raid on Salty and Alambra. We can do it together, and it'll cure us. And everyone's like, yeah, let's do it. They get a little group together.
It's like a raid in WoW. If you fucking died, if you didn't kill a monster,
if all of you are level one. And your lives are on the line. Yes, it's exactly like a raid in WoW.
I've never played WoW.
I played it back in the day. Back during Burning Crusade.
I don't remember what it's like because I didn't play.
The golden days.
Yeah, I've never liked an MMO. Have I ever told you that?
They're not good, mostly. But some of them are fun if you play with a friend.
Maybe. Everything's fun but if that you
doesn't,
play with a friend.
Yeah, it doesn't make them good.
I've never liked an MMO, and I've tried a bunch of them. Like, I tried WoW for a little bit. I just never played it, as in played it.
Yeah.
More than just a day or two, right?
I can't think of a single one that I'd say, like, yeah, this is great. This is the good shit.
I tried Final Fantasy XI.
Right? Is that any? Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah.
And you were playing it, and you were like, I gotta fucking stop this. We have to stop.
It's just, like, unlike the eighth or ninth quest I got that was go out in the forest and kill the rats.
That's MMOs.
I was like, man, this is gonna be the Final Fantasy because I'm done playing this fucking series.
Kill 12 rats, bring me 6 bear asses. That's MMOs.
I'll bring you a bear ass, alright.
Can you imagine if fucking Kamen Rider Chronicle had, like, before you could fight Salty, you had to collect 3 soda cans on the street? It would be like a way to force, to clean up the streets. You gotta pick a shit up or stop a crime or something.
Bring 25 soda cans.
Bring 25 full soda cans to Dan Kuroda's office, and then you can fight Salty.
It's a good thing Kamen Rider Chronicle isn't like that.
God, I'd still play it.
Instead, you just get beaten to death by Bugsters.
You get straight to the good shit, but the good shit will kill you. That's the downside.
Here's the thing about video games, right? If you started playing a video game, and you went up against the first enemy, and you literally could not hurt him, no matter how many times you fought him, you would probably stop playing that game, wouldn't you?
Well, here's what I'd think. Well, this is probably a fight where I'm supposed to lose, right? And then I'd lose, and then I'd die.
Yeah.
That would be my experience with Kamen Rider Chronicle.
You'd be like, shit, I thought I was going to go to the Nexus. I thought it was going to teleport me.
I liked Poppy in this episode. I like her new role. I like her as she's the adjudicator. More than just a tutorial character now, she's like an adjudicator. And I like her new voice when she's angry. She's got like a
deep sort of like lady voice for when she's transforming and stuff. She's like, hey, Sheen.
She pops out and she's like, hey, it's Poppy. You can't ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do. I'm going to kill you now.
She's still fucking annoying, though, is the thing. But I really do enjoy her in this role a lot more.
Way more than I did before.
Fucking stand her as a sidekick.
It's actually kind of cool that they take the bubbly, annoying sidekick and just, they're a villain now. Imagine if they did that with Onari.
I didn't foresee that whatsoever.
Yeah, I like it.
X8 has taken some turns.
Taken some good turns. It was like, towards the end of the first half, there were a lot of episodes where I was like, let's drop it off. But this second half has been really great so far. I love the new status quo. I can't believe I would say this, but I like that Graphite's back again. Now Snipe and Brave have something to do.
I do too.
I like the Rad players. It's all cool.
Here's my fear.
Mm.
My fear is that Poppy gets unbrainwashed and like gains her save data back.
Oh, for sure that's gonna happen. For sure.
And I know that's going to happen, but that's lame as fuck.
It's gonna be, they're gonna have a backup sitting at the CR and they're gonna be like, Gamu, you gotta beat her and put this Gashat in her and
fruit whoop. It's lame as fuck.
I'm sorry, but it's gonna happen.
I want her to stay a villain and I want Emu to have to destroy her.
Could you actually see that? Maybe.
Imagine how fucking heartfelt that would be that he had to destroy his own friend?
That's a big maybe, but I could see that maybe happening.
Man, maybe. I want that to happen so bad.
That's the best case scenario, but much more likely is that they have a copy of her save data lying around. This ain't Amazon's.
That's so lame.
So lame. Are we done talking about...
So lame. Yeah, it's a really great episode. If you had sort of petered off in watching X-Aid... But you still listen to this podcast for some reason? Whatever.
A lot of people did it with Ghost.
Start watching it again with 25. 25 and 26 are great.
Big jumps in quality. I thought of the best idea for a movie villain rider at this point, because there always has to be a special movie villain rider, is a ride player that just played fucking day and night and got high level. Wouldn't that be great? he's not brown. He's like got the good gear and everything, and he's like, I'm gonna beat these Kamen Riders. That's just his thing. He wants to beat the Kamen Riders and get their sick gear.
You know what would be better than that?
What?
Is if the movie villain was an underhanded ass ride player who had gotten, he was still brown, right? But he got strong enough that he used underhanded means in order to steal the rider's powers and kept getting stronger in leaps and bounds throughout the movie.
Like he would sneak Gashats off of him.
Or he would like use some sort of trickery during the fight in order to win. And he's like super slippery eel man, like how Lupin should have been, right?
Yeah.
And the final fight is between Emu and him, and Emu has his gear, but the ride player has literally everyone else's gear.
Oh.
And he's like super powerful because of it.
That'd be sick.
That would be the tits.
But you know the movie ride is going to be Emu from another dimension popped in.
It's going to be
purple X-Aid or something.
Super dark X-Aid.
Dark X-Aid. Double dark X. Light X-Aid. I don't know.
Double dark X-Aid.
What's two darks together? What the fuck is that?
Pitch black X-Aid.
Pitch black X-Aid. Even Genmu's like, holy shit, that dude's dark.
You know it's going to be blacked.com X-Aid. That's what it's going to be.
Get the fuck out of here. Are you ready for news?
Yeah, let's hear some news.
Okay, so Kamen Rider X8's producer Takahito Omori mentioned at a talk show about the movie for X8, speaking of X8's movie.
Yes, I heard about this.
Okay, he says, the quote is, "It will be the true ending. There are whispers of a similarity to Ryuki, but it's a little different. If you continue to watch the show every week after its release, the way the movie looks will gradually change." Now, I think...
I don't know what that means.
Kamen Rider Ryuki's movie was a fucking nightmare become real episode final.
Yes.
It was an alternate ending for the show.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's what this is?
But he said if you watch any episodes after that... it'll change the way it looks, and also it is the final chapter.
The true end. Maybe it takes place. Maybe it takes place after the end.
Maybe it takes place so far in the future that like Amu's a fucking corpse, and like his children are running around being riders.
What? Maybe Amu is evil in the movie, and you see at the very end of the show, the seeds planted that turn him evil.
There's no, they're not.
No, there's no way. It's really, I don't know what he means by Ryuki. I don't know what he means by like a Ryuki similarity.
I don't know. Maybe, maybe one of the characters fucks a lady on his girlfriend's unconscious body in the hospital.
I don't think anybody even in Japan remembers that book.
It's important, asshole.
Wow. Okay, so I got another story.
Okay.
The Neo Amazon's driver is coming out. You saw it this week.
Fucking toy news!
It's toy. It's a premium Bandai exclusive. And it comes
with... You're so angry, Liam.
I know. Well, you weren't going to buy it. Come on.
I'm definitely not going to buy it. You're right.
That's true. It comes with a little... Remember Amazon Sigma?
Yes.
The gray one? It comes with a plate for the original Amazon's driver that makes it Amazon, so you stick it on the front or something, and it makes it Amazon Sigma. But you have to get this shit in order to get that shit.
I don't want an Amazon driver.
Well, why not?
Because I don't wanna.
I like the look of the Amazon driver.
The Neo one or the old one?
Both of them, honestly.
I like that the old one has, like, shit in it that it absolutely shouldn't be able to have in it. Like, the sword and shit.
That pulls all the way out of the little tiny space. Yeah.
I think that's great.
It's Amazon tech.
Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Like, the metallic part of it, like, the almost robotic part, makes no fucking sense whatsoever.
Of the original one?
Yeah. This one might have more of an explanation, but it literally makes like a RoboCop sound effect when the arm piece comes out.
I like this. I like the Neo Amazon driver. I like the injector that you put in.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
You put in the serum and it turns you. We'll talk more about this when we talk about Amazons. But
yeah,
it's coming out. It's Bandai web exclusive, so fuck you if you want it. Speaking of Amazon season 2, I have another little news story about that.
Is it about our pal Hojo?
Yeah, our favorite actor of all time, Hojo, is coming back.
I don't know what his real name is, but he's coming back.
I could learn his real name right now through Google, but I don't care. He's Hojo to me.
Yeah, the guy who played Hojo in Agito and who played Hojo again in Fize.
It's Takuma in Fize is his name.
I believe his name is Hojo.
Sorry, it's Hojo. Yeah.
Yeah, he's coming back for Amazon.
He's fucking back. This guy just can't get away.
He's got to work. He's got to have a job.
You know what? I'm happy. He's grown on me. I liked him in Amazons. I don't like him so much in Fize. I don't like his character. I like him as an actor. What?
You mean Agito?
Yes, I liked him a lot in Agito. I got Amazon on the brain. I liked him a lot in Agito. Fize, he's not so great, but it's not the actor's fault. I like the actor. It's just he's given shitty material.
The role's
not great. He works with it. He does his best. I like him.
Is that all we got for news?
No, one more thing.
Oh my god.
This is Sentai, not Rider, but it's important news.
We still cover that?
Yes, because it's Juojer. A new trailer came out this week for the new Juojer V cinema about the fucking karate tournament to decide the whole fate of the world.
Yeah.
And there is indeed a bit where they host what looks like a gambling den for karate, and that's why they're all dressed up as, like, Yakuzas.
That's amazing.
So definitely watch that. That'll be in the blog post. It doesn't, like, reveal much crazy new plot info that we didn't already know, but take a look at it. There's a bit where fucking... Oh my god, what was Jew of the World's name?
Oh, Mondo.
Mondo Misao.
Misao
accidentally grabs a rhino juman's titties by accident. He like slips into her chest, and she's like, "Oh, sir!" It looks like a total riot.
I want to watch this.
It looks nuts. Check it out.
I want to see Misao get it on with a rhino lady.
He's trying. I really hope that's a romance in the movie. Oh God.
Wouldn't that be awkward as fuck?
That would be so weird. Just like, don't ask any of the questions that are involved. Just do it, and just don't say anything about it. I think that would be hilarious.
Well, I mean, technically, if either of the human characters would have been interested in Sayla or Amu, it would have been exactly the same thing.
I guess. Yeah, but they have human forms. They can turn into people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. They have disguises. That's the only difference.
I mean, if they can turn into people, as long as they didn't turn into a shark when it was sexy time, that'd be okay. I'd be fine with that.
Do they get, like, people sex parts?
I don't know.
I forget what those things are called.
Yeah, I haven't seen one in so long, I've forgotten them. I don't know, actually. Well, I mean, we'll have to check the Super Sentai Wiki to find out. I'm sure the
Super Sentai Wiki will absolutely tell us whether their genitals transform
or
not.
For sure. It'll also tell us what their genitals are a reference to.
Their genitals are absolutely a reference to Sonic the Hedgehog. I'll call it right now.
Who presumably also has genitals.
Although you don't see them.
You don't see, just like the Jumans.
He has invisible genitals.
It's completely a reference. So that's it for my news.
Just edited an article.
What?
Just right then.
We're already pretty much contributors.
Yeah.
So, speaking of invisible animal genitals, that's my news. That's the note we're going to end on.
Now it's time for a little segment I like to call... What the fuck's up, Fies?
Fies, how's it going? Your life's a little weird right now.
Fies?
I hear things are going pretty strange for you.
I heard you's a wolfman, Fies.
This is...
Sup with that?
I liked these three episodes, definitely more than the last couple batches.
Oh yeah, I did too.
The Fies reveals...
Thing is, knew this. I knew the secret.
I knew already. I knew as well. It wasn't a big...
I didn't know that they just reveal it by having him be like, I'm a wolf!
It just gets to it. Like, he's... A lot of the time in this show, he's in danger and he doesn't have the belt. And
yeah,
he just runs away.
He doesn't transform.
But this time, I guess Mari's life is at stake, so he's... I don't know, he just gets really into it.
Her life has been at stake before when he didn't have the belt, though.
Look, okay, this time it was...
This time it was different, because the writers realized it'd be real interesting to make him a wolf man.
Fies is a wolf orphanok. He, like, I thought... I didn't know... I hadn't seen the show, obviously. I knew he was an orphanok. I didn't know that he knew about it. I thought it was just... He'd be like, oh my god, I'm an orphanok.
Like, I didn't know that either, is the thing. I knew he was the wolf orphanok, but I didn't know he was aware of that the entire show. And I guess that shines a new light on him immediately trusting Osada.
Yeah, that's true.
And being, like, so obsessed with, like, can there be a good orphanok?
Because I guess he thinks he's not a good orphanok. He hates himself.
Yeah.
He's talking to Kiba, and he's like, yeah, I've been an orphanok since I was, like, fucking 10 years old. And I was like, wait, what?
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 Weren't you talking about how, like, you couldn't fucking trust the man because he was an orphanok, like, two episodes ago?
He's a self-hating orphanok.
Yeah, he's got a problem. He's a self-hating Jew.
This is a good couple episodes, though. Mari dies, and in order to bring her back...
This is a good couple episodes. Mari dies.
Mari dies. That was the clincher. In order to bring her back, Fies has to join the Lucky Clover. And geniusly, the lady, the bartender lady's like, you know that fucker's just gonna get what he wants and then leave. And the CEO's like, no, he's not.
Murakami's like, nah, trust me.
Murakami, yeah.
He's more than he seems. He's the cream of the crop orphanox, so he's gonna join us. And he gets what he wants and fucking ditches.
And there's a conversation after that where the same two people, she's like, hey, so you were wrong. And Murakami's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you mean. Wrong about what? You just came up to me and started saying this stuff.
And he's like, oh, trust me, he's still going to join. I'm never wrong about anything. Ever.
I don't have any bargaining chips left, but he'll still join.
His bargaining chip is a video, showing him a video that's like, here you are. At the Ryusei school reunion as a wolfman, and you fucking just kill everybody.
As interesting as this plot arc is, it's a little much. It's a little much that he's known about it since the start. It recolors a lot of scenes and makes them make less sense.
Yes. Also, the fact that, like, he ends up in that location where Mari has the belt at the beginning of the series.
Mm-hmm.
He just happens to stumble onto it, right? Is that, that's like a little too much convenience for me.
A little too much, just a tad too much convenience. If you could have done an arc like this, actually maybe tie it into an upgrade or something, where he dies, he just gets killed, and then you're like, oh shit, Takumi's dead, and then he like wakes up in the morgue. And then you, the audience, realize all at once, like, oh wait, oh shit, he was actually an orphanok, and he's like, oh, I guess I'm the wolf orphanok because I lived. Something like that. I don't know. You could.
There's something really interesting about the fact that he's like, he's been a wolf orphanok his whole life and he's been hiding it. There's something very interesting about that to me. And it recolors a lot of scenes and makes them not make any sense, but it also recolors a lot of scenes and makes them seem more fleshed out and makes them make more sense.
It explains why he's such a self-hating, wandering loner at the start of the show.
Yeah, that's it also for sure. Explains why he's constantly trying to find a good orphanok.
Yeah, that's true.
And constantly questioning whether orphanoks can be good people or not.
That's true.
It
recontextualizes those scenes, yeah.
But the fact that he was the one who caused the problem at the Ryusei school or whatever, right? That's dumb. I don't like that.
I think there's going to be some stupid-ass plot contrivance that, like, oh, this is another wolf orphanok.
Nah, that shit's him.
You think so?
This show doesn't pull punches like that.
He talks about, I transformed once, and then I was unconscious the whole time, and then I came back and I was like, well, that was weird.
Yeah, so he was swept up in the power of it, and I'm gonna guess it's because he fucking killed for the first time.
Yeah, I really like...
remember who was swept up in the power the first time he killed somebody.
Oh, Yuji Kiba.
It was Kiba.
That's true. Orphanoks always go crazy the first time they turn.
Yep.
I like the scene when Kusaka and Mari are sitting on the bench, and Mari's like, Kusaka, are you sure you weren't at the reunion? Kusaka's like, shut up! I'll fucking kill you if you say another word! And then he's like, I mean, no, you're misremembering.
And
I'm
she
sorry.
Just stares at him. Like, are you kidding me right now?
I swear to God, Mari, I will blow your fucking brains out with this Kaiser Blaster if you say one more thing.
Like, he literally stands up and goes, shut the fuck up! Wait, no, sorry.
I overreacted. I don't like it when people tell me I was at places where I wasn't at, okay?
That's my pet peeve.
It's a little pet peeve of mine.
Murray's staring at him like, are you serious right now?
That's another thing. As much as I like that it drives Takumi to do shit that he wouldn't normally do and drives the plot, I don't like that Mari gets brought back to life. I don't like it.
It's like, there's a lot of things wrong with that. Number one, her coming back to life is literally she just walks through the front door.
Yeah,
and
is so,
like, hi, everybody.
Yeah, they did a little surgery on me that lasted a couple hours. Now I'm back.
She's been dead for like a day, right? Her corpse has been hanging out. What type of procedure can you do to reanimate a corpse?
She should have seen some shit on the other side. I'm not talking about visions of her childhood.
Did they, like, wheel back the roof and just, like, have lightning strike some coils and bring her fucking dead-ass corpse back to life, or what?
It was, look, I'm not concerned with the logistics of it. It's fucking smart brain magic, whatever.
That's dumb.
It's just dumb that they're like, she's dead. Oh, we can bring her back to life. How do you do it? Do I have to collect the 6 orphanok artifacts of Majimahu? No, it's just, we just give her a surgery.
Oh. We inject shit into her neck hole.
Yeah, and then she just comes back. Oh, okay.
It's there's not a whole lot of pomp and circumstance in her return at all.
Not at all.
She literally just walks through the front door.
Especially because there's a shit ton of pomp and circumstance around her death. It's like my favorite part of the show. And then she's like, she like there's like a whole episode about it. And then they're like, I don't know. We didn't want her to die, actually. Her contract says every episode, so...
Like, what makes one orphanok stronger than another, right? Like, it can't be... It has to be just, like, random. Because it can't be, like, how much you use your power or whatever, and you get stronger that way. Because, like, fucking Takumi hasn't transformed in like 10 years or whatever, and he's strong as fuck.
That's true. It's just, it must be random. It's just like some Orphanox are tougher than others. It's like how some people are tall and some people aren't.
If you were an Orphanox, right? And you were super ridiculously powerful, and would you use the Fize belt and get your shit wrecked every day?
That's what I thought when Yuji Kiba started using it. Is he's already a pretty tough guy. Like, he goes toe-to-toe with Fize. He doesn't need the belt.
Like, you're already... Well, no, he loses to Fize every time they fucking fight.
That's... Well, it's a tie a lot of the time. It was a tie last time.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he has to struggle pretty hard.
Yeah.
I imagine it'd be easier to just wear a cool suit.
That's what I'd do if I got the chance.
I always wonder, like, why riders who have guns don't just whip that shit out every time immediately.
They don't even have to transform. Kaiser's just got one on his belt. Just shoot him.
They're like, let me get up real close and throw some punches, and if that doesn't work, I'll pull my gun out.
Actually, you know what? Kaiser wore the Delta belt once, so now he should be able to shoot lightning out of his hands and have super strength all the time, so I don't know why he ever even bothers transforming.
Yeah, apparently it only works on some people that way.
Only works on those two particular guys. That was so fucking stupid.
Yeah, it was. I can't believe fucking... I can't believe the I want to go home guy.
Yeah! That's my favorite part of these three episodes. He's like, I really want to go home. I just want to go home. And they're like, give him this belt. And he's like, well, with this, I could call a motorcycle and that could get me home real fast. I'll take this.
I just love that he's like fucking every scene. He's like, I have to go home.
He shows up to everything. Every time the Ryusei students get together, he's forcing himself. Like, I'll just go for 5 minutes and then I'll go home. I'm not going to enjoy this.
It's like when you're... like fucking friends get together for something, it's like somebody's birthday and you don't really want to fucking go to it, you don't know that person, but if you just pop in for 5 minutes, right? Then you can leave and have a clean conscience,
except when you try to leave.
Let me just pop into the morgue for 5 or 10 minutes, give my condolences to Mari's cold corpse, and then I can go home and I won't be involved anymore.
Where does this guy live? I wonder, does he live close, does he live far?
I don't know. Why does Kusaka telling him we don't have a home anymore have any effect on him whatsoever?
Yeah, I don't
Shouldn't
think
he
he's
be like
Orthodox.
I do have a fucking home. I'm always saying I want to go to it.
It's got a bed and a TV and everything. I can show you sometime.
Yeah, you're not really invited because you bring horrible monsters with you everywhere you go, but I got one.
He's just, I don't know. I just think it's so, like, that guy to me was just like a joke side character, like a Shibuya.
Exactly.
I was.
No, he is Delta.
He's for certain. I was like, this guy's gonna die. Like, he was like, he's like, I don't want to be here. I just want to go home. That's like definitely Sawada's gonna kill him. And then he gets the belt, and he doesn't really have a character arc leading up to that or anything. He just wants to fuck off, and they give him this belt, and he's like, I'll take it. I guess I'll fight. Sure. What could go wrong?
What a dumb character.
I love him.
He's probably going to die soon.
There's one, I tweeted about this, there's one shot in these three episodes that is the fucking best single shot in Fize history. And that's when, because Kiba thinks that Fize killed Mari, right? He thinks that Takumi Takumi punched Mari in the stomach and killed her. And he's saying this to Keitaro. Keitaro's like, what? No, Takumi didn't do that. He'd never do that. And Kiba looks like next, like he gets this look in his face, like, what the fuck? Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Wait just a second. That's not what that other guy told me.
Did I believe the wrong man?
It's like this, like a ton of bricks hitting him right in the face. It's so, his facial expression is perfect.
Yeah, and he's wait a minute. Maybe I'm the idiot!
I guffawed like a moron at that shot. It's so funny.
I did say directly to my screen, there you go, you fucking idiot. There you go. Why would Kusaka ever lie to me? He's such a trustworthy young man.
You tricked me. What the...
I love that he fucking goes up to Kusaka. And he said, maybe you're the liar. You tell too many lies. And Kusaka's like, yeah, what a fucking about it, bitch.
Yeah, you caught me. What are you gonna do?
Who's going to believe you, you dumb Orphanok bitch?
Do anything.
And Kiba's like, nah.
So in summation, these three episodes are the best.
They were good.
They're actually a step up from the last few batches. Yeah. I liked them a lot. They didn't have any really dumb contrivances in them. The Lucky Clover does something. Fize's character takes a totally new direction. I liked it. A little shaking things up.
Takumi's wolf form looks pretty fucking cool, even if it does have a wolf on top of a wolf.
Shh. It's cool.
It is cool. It looks really awesome.
Don't ask questions. It's just cool. He's one of the coolest Orphanoks so far.
Yeah, he really is. You don't get to see monster forms very much of a rider. Like, if a rider has a monster form, you usually just don't see it.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, even Black, you only see, like, the shadows of his horrible grasshopper man form. And yeah. And then he turns into a normal grasshopper man.
Very little do you see Black's weirdo form. But Fi seems to use it a lot. I mean, why wouldn't he? When he doesn't have the belt, he could use it. He needs it.
Why wouldn't he use it all the time?
The shot where he first transforms and a giant CGI plane flies by in the background is pretty funny. He's like, ah! And then this huge fucking plane!
Dude, you know what would have been... I was watching it, and I thought would have been the most fucking hilarious thing in history.
What?
Is if he was like, ah! And, like, it showed everybody, like, standing up and staring at him, like, all terrified and everything. And he just goes, and then he just kind of looks around, and he doesn't transform, and everybody's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh, shit, that would be embarrassing. That'd be a good distraction.
That would be so fucking funny. But, Wolf Orphanok is really cool.
Yep.
It's giving Rose Orphanok a run for his money for the coolest looking Orphanok.
That's Orphanok. True. Orphanok.
Orphanok. Like, the Murakami's Orphanok form is really
cool. Yeah, he's got a really cool one.
Sawada does not have a cool one. He looks like he escaped from a fucking insane clown posse concert.
Holy shit, he's got, like, the fringes on the head, I guess, are supposed to resemble his real hair.
I guess.
But they just look like a bunch of banana peels flying off of
him. He looks like a clown.
He looks a bit like a clown, yeah.
Like, he has the one eye in the middle, right? But it looks like a big clown nose.
I never saw
silly.
It.
He looks silly. And I mean, the Lucky Clover have shitty forms.
They mostly, their forms are pretty ugly. Hojo's form is pretty ugly.
Yeah.
Mr. J's form was kind of ugly. I don't like the shape of his head.
It was super ugly.
I don't even, Bar Lady's form, I don't even remember what she looks like.
She's the one with the rapier.
I still don't remember exactly what she looks like. I haven't seen her enough.
What's his face? Who was Delta? His form was all right.
Kitazaki, yeah, his form was okay.
Kitazaki was all right. He's okay. It's not like Wolf Orphanok.
It's no Wolf Orphanok or Rose Orphanok.
Yeah, those are some fucking cool forms. What type of Orphanok would you be, man?
I would be a fucking armadillo Orphanok.
That would be cool as shit.
Yeah. What about you?
We could be Shell Brothers because I'd be the Turtle Orphanok.
There we go. We'd get horribly murdered in a double rider kick.
Oh, no doubt. We would be one of the ones who, like, the jogging guy or something, where we just get fucking killed.
Just like a guy who's, yeah, seemingly no one. A pizza parlor man. And then they're like, hey, you're an Orphanok.
Fucking murderizes him.
Bam.
If you weren't watching Fize with us, skip all of Fize and just go to the episodes we talked about. They're 30, pretty good.
34, 35, and 36. You'll figure out what's happening.
Sometimes I think back on where these characters started, and I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, things are different now.
Remember when Mari wanted to be a beautician?
Yeah. Remember when Keitaro wasn't a broken shell of a man?
I like Keitaro's progression. He's just...
With no fucking hope or enjoyment in his life.
Young man. I don't like what they did with Osada. She still hasn't done nothing.
That sucks dick.
But I like
Remember when Osada and Kaido had, like, arcs? They were like, had shit to do in the show.
They played off of each other and did things and had characters.
Remember when Kiba was like a lost soul and like an everyman?
Yep, but not
now
anymore.
He's like the most perfect man that ever lived.
He's perfect. Kaido's a joke. Osada is just there to compliment Kaido. Like, I think her only line is like, hey, you got a nice signature there, Kaido. And he's like, thanks.
Yeah, Kaido, let me suck your fucking dick! Jesus! That was her line in this episode.
She's getting real forward about it. She's getting
kind of went, what? I don't understand. You're silly.
Yeah. She's fucking women always speaking in tongues, never being clear about what they want. Sayonara Fies.
Sayonara Fies. They were good. But we also watched something a little special this week. We watched Kamen Rider Amazons, episode 14, a.k.a. Season 2, Episode 1.
Moshi Moshi Amazons.
Shut the fuck up. Liam, what did you think about Amazons 14? I'm very interested in hearing this.
I liked it. I really liked it. I didn't love it, but I really liked it. How about you?
Yeah, I wouldn't even say really liked it. I liked it a good deal.
I liked it.
I asked Twitter what they thought about it, and I have never gotten such divisive answers.
Yeah, very varied opinions we got over there.
Yeah, like, some people were like, I fucking loved it. My only complaint is, like, there's not enough gin. Like, I fucking loved it. I'm liking it even more than season one. And then other people were like, I hated it. This is exactly what I was hoping they didn't do. Like, one person said it was, like, the best show they'd seen in a long time or whatever, and another person said that it was absolute garbage.
Yeah, it's drawing lines in the fan base. I like that.
Yeah, I'm right in the center. I liked it.
I'm towards liking it. I'm towards the whatever direction is. I'm up. I liked it. It's a more personal story than the first season. It seems like the first season is like man v world, whereas this one is, like they said, boy meets girl.
I feel like I was caught up. My mind was constantly running over one fact the entire episode that got in the way of the enjoyment.
What's that?
He was raised by Amazons.
Hmm.
How old is this guy?
Because
it's only been 5 years, and Amazons had only been around for a few months.
And he looks like he's 18, at least.
So, like, and he's like a kid in the flashbacks.
Yeah, he's like 10.
So he might be like 15 or whatever, but that means he was raised by Amazons from age 10 to age 10. They weren't around that long.
There must be some explanation for this. Hopefully. Oh god, I hope they explain that.
I feel like it was just a one-off thing, right? They're going to talk about his past as being raised by Amazons, but they're not going to explain the time difference or whatever. That's what I'm afraid of. But the whole time, that's all I could fucking think about. Anytime he was on screen, I was like, how was he raised by them?
I had that pop into my head towards the end of the episode. Someone mentioned it, and I was like, wait a minute. They were created like 2 years before the first season, max. But even then, they weren't like escaped and raising people. So it has to be post-first season. But I was like, fuck that, I can't. They're going to explain it. I had faith.
Hopefully.
I have faith.
You're right. There's a lot of like Japanese-isms in the show. Like, the guy who has like a breakdown because starts crying because Chihiro threatened him.
Hmm.
And then he's like gonna fight him or whatever. That was very J drama-ish.
Well, it's Kamen Rider. You gotta take the J drama with the good.
I understand that, but usually in J drama, I can tell what the characters are feeling a little bit better.
Yeah.
That was weird. The action scenes are pretty good.
The action scenes are phenomenal. The opener
the opener was really good.
Chihiro and Team X, yeah, great.
The characters are interesting, especially Team X. Like, the fact that these kids are getting their fucking jollies from killing Amazons and posting it online for money. That's great.
That's really
very modern day.
It's a very interesting take on the Kill Squad from season one. And there is still a Kill Squad that only has, like,
I like that the Kill Squad's completely different.
There's, like, two members that are the same and everyone else is different.
I like that there's a mystery surrounding the girl.
Yeah, she's really interesting.
Cool.
She's not quite human, not quite Amazon.
I'm actually interested in seeing where Chihiro goes, since he's such a closed-off, like, emotionless dude.
I think we're gonna learn more about him. We better fucking learn more about him as the show goes on, so.
Yeah. Here's like, where I will say something about this show that is firmly in the red for me. the monster suits are fucking atrocious.
Yep. Oh, they're God, terrible. Yeah. The lady in the wedding dress was the one that really got to me.
Yeah. They're fucking... And the pig cop, I guess. I don't know what he was.
Yeah.
They're fucking terrible.
I'll always remember the first episode of Amazons. That should go down. The scene in the apartment complex should go down in writer history as like an iconic scene. The one where they find the spider Amazon and he's like in the corner, all like hustled up there, and it looks really freaky. Yeah. That suit is gorgeous the way they shot it, and it looks kind of silly when he's running around, but like that scene
That's fine.
The suit looks great.
It's the suits have a care put into them, right? They're all completely different. They're all, like, grotesque in some way, and they all are complete.
Mm.
But it's really easy to tell that they're just making arms, legs, and masks for these suits now.
Yeah, they don't have different body types, really.
And I understand there's a budget, right? But if they could do it with the first series, they could do it with the second one.
Maybe they just... ran out of ideas? I don't know.
Maybe. We're only one episode in. It could completely change around. Like, these little tiny one-offs are shitty because they don't care.
That's true.
And then when they get into the more interesting ones with stories attached to them, they'll be more complete.
Hopefully.
But that's one thing I really loved about Amazons, is that all the suits were so cool.
That's one thing I'm really interested in. I think the most thing I'm interested in is, I think her name's Eeyou, the girl.
Yeah.
And how they're like, oh, Mamoru, the last guy, defected and ran away, so now we have this girl, Eeyou, who I think what the deal is that they're just constantly sedating her. I think that's what the injections are. They just shoot her up in the neck every time they go back.
See, I don't know about that. Because fucking Chihiro is like, she's not an Amazon, she's human.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they're like injecting her with Amazon DNA and then suppressing it over and over again.
Amazon cybos, it could be. I don't know.
Her
whole deal
to
is interesting.
Like a bioweapon is her purpose.
Yeah, I guess she's the next level of what Mamoru was supposed to be, a controllable Amazon.
Yeah, hopefully more controllable than Mamoru.
Look, but Mamoru, he did his best.
He did far better than his best. He fucking made the best situation he possibly could for himself and others like him.
He ate one arm and a burger. That's pretty good, considering he craved it all the time.
Yeah. One arm.
One arm and a burger. Just a snack, as he says.
Jesus Christ.
I have very high hopes for this show.
I want it to be just as amazing as the first season, and it seems like they're setting up a storyline that'll be just as interesting. I'm already super interested to see where these characters go.
Yeah, it's a good, like, not much in the way of actual plot happens. It's all set up, and it's good setup. Tachibana's back. He's working with a new company called 4C. I don't remember what it stands for, but it's
Creative Creature Control something.
Thank you. That's close. Center, maybe? Creative Creature
Center.
Control Center? Yeah.
Creative Creature Control Center, which cracked me up. It's not just the Creature Control Center, it's the
Creative
Creature Control Center.
3C would have sounded better than 4C, but fuck it. Name it what you
want
to.
It's the thing that I'm really looking forward to is to see how the previous writers interact with this new setup, this new world.
Yeah, I really want to know what Jin's been up to this whole time.
Yeah, he was in rough shape last time we saw him.
I like the idea of it's this whole new story in the same world, and the previous main characters will be here, but just a little bit. Side characters. That's fine. I like that. And I like these Chihiro's whole situation. He escapes from captivity, and now he's a fucking YouTube star. That's cool.
I love any series where the previous characters from, like, a previous season or whatever come back to interact with the next season, not as the main characters.
Yeah.
But as secondary characters, I'm a big fan of that.
I'm sure. Well, we know Haruka's coming. Haruka is coming back.
Mm-hmm. He's in the next episode.
Yeah, and maybe. Jin will be here maybe. I don't know. He's not dead, so...
As far as we know,
they wouldn't kill him off screen between seasons, though. Come on,
they'll do like a flashback or something.
Maybe we'll see. If we'll he see. Does die. I'm very intrigued with where this show's going. I thought it was a good start.
I did too. Like I said, I liked it.
Yeah.
It had its problems that kind of stood out to me.
Hmm.
But I'm hoping that they're one-off problems and won't continue throughout the series.
Yeah.
Because it's a great setup. And I'm very, very into seeing what happens.
And even if the show has some lame suits, that doesn't really affect the story.
No, that's not anywhere.
That's not a huge deal breaker. Yeah, it's kind of annoying. Anyways. Sayonara Amazons. Let's talk about mail.
Let's talk. What do you think of mail, Liam?
Well, I'd love opening it. It feels so good to get a personal letter.
Personal letter in the real mail.
As long as it's not a bill.
Our next email.
You mean our first email?
No. Is from, I guess, Just a Paradox?
Just a Paradox?
Hello, you super mega supremen geschits. It is your number one and only fan. I have some questions, but first, I'm loving the podcast. Now for the questions. Would you rather have a dark version of Kamen Rider Drive where there is more drama, darker plot, more blood, cop things like drug busts, and the drive suit is based off of the SIC with actual good CGI, or a darker version of Gaim with a bit less dancing, more plot with the overlords, playing with the good and the god and devil theme more, and the suits looking more like armors than spandex?
I would take Drive. I like Gaim the way it is.
I don't want either, to be honest.
I would like Drive with more cop shit.
Yeah, I would like Drive if it definitely got more into cop drama stuff. That'd be really cool. I'm not a fan of, like, dark, gritty reboots. Especially, like, I haven't seen the Power Rangers movie. People say it's actually not that bad.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, people say it's actually not that bad. But, like, the dark and gritty side of it being fucking Power Rangers cracks me up so bad. I can't take that seriously.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
And that's how I would feel with, like, Drive or something, where it's like, my car turns into a tire that goes into my body. Now let's solve that fucking rape case. Like, I couldn't take that seriously.
He catches the heroin addict in the back alley and shoots him with the door gun.
Also, SIC sucks.
I think the SIC Drive stuff wasn't bad.
I don't remember what it looks like, actually.
It's a lot of Drive stuff was apparently designed by the guy that designs the SIC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's... Like, if you look at Chaser, you can kind of see it.
Yeah, I could kind of see that.
You can kind of see that aesthetic creeping in there. I think... I don't know about all the other, like, more mature themes, like you said. I don't know if it has to have, like, a really dark tone. But I would absolutely love Drive with more detective shit. With more, like, investigating crime scenes and evidence, finding evidence in baggies and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I could totally take that.
I feel like that's really the way it should have went. That would have made the middle section of Drive a hell of a lot more interesting.
Yeah, like...
If he was actually solving cases.
Focus on clues and clue trails and stuff like that. And fingerprints and...
Instead, like, none of that.
Yeah, it'd be like a crime, and it seems obvious at first. It seems open and shut at first, and then turns out things are different once you look at the evidence. Something cool like that.
I'm just not like a edgy guy.
Yeah,
not Liam. I'm not an edge lover.
I'd take Drive.
It has its place.
Yeah,
like Dark Souls. The whole Souls series is edgy, dark, gritty as fuck, and I love it.
It's pretty edgy.
I don't think it has a place in car spandex.
It has its place even in Kamen Rider, with shows like Amazons and stuff, but just not in Drive, I'd say, particularly.
The theme doesn't lend itself well to that.
Yeah, and Gaim, I would
fucking love a series that was like, it had the same sort of detective police force thing as Drive, but was more like Amazons with no, like, forms and little cars that beep beep and shit.
Oh, yeah.
That was just a straight detective drama, but with, like, horrible monsters, and the detective transformed to destroy them.
Yeah, I could see that. As for Gaim, I like it just the way it is. I love Gaim. Yeah.
The, like, happy-go-lucky dancing shit in Gaim is misdirection.
It's necessary for the...
It's made to make you feel like this is a silly, happy kid show. And then shit gets fucked.
It's the Madoka bait and switch. It's perfect.
So, if it went dark and gritty from the beginning, it would have sort of ruined the shock of things turning.
Yeah. It would have messed with the pacing a little.
Second and last question. If you had to make a team of movie writers to create a Suicide Squad movie where they redeem themselves a bit but still are villains, who would you put on your team? I'd put Kabuki, Dark Drive, Dark Kabuto, G4, and Gal. Have a wonderful day, and Liam, keep pissing off Jeff. It's hilarious.
I'm trying.
He does every day, all day.
Every day, all day. It's my job.
Who would be on your terrible movie squad?
Okay, Ryuga.
Ryuga.
Dark Gun.
Really?
Dark Drive.
Okay.
Dark Kabuto.
Okay.
Dark Kiva.
Okay.
Dark, who else is a Dark Rider? Dark Deno, Nega Deno.
Dark Deno, of course.
Those six, yeah. And they're all having existential crises because they're just reflections of other characters. And they set out to forge their own identities.
That's great.
That's my movie. It's more of like, there's no writing and no fighting. It's just these characters hanging out and trying to find themselves. It's like a weird Waiting for Godot meets Mallrats.
Finding Forrester.
That's my Rider movie.
I would actually have Dark Drive, because I think Dark Drive's a pretty cool design, and it's not a bad character idea.
Yeah, he's actually cool as far as Dark Riders go.
It gets a little bit tougher in that way. I mean, Oja would be great, because he's completely irredeemable, and everybody around him would be trying to redeem themselves.
He's a Suicide Squad guy, for sure.
And he would be completely fucking irredeemable.
He's the guy who they would send if they wanted to not to come back.
Kaiza,
sure.
Kaiza's completely irredeemable. The dancing Necroms, I don't know.
why is Kaiza this week? I have one last thing to say about Fies. Why, okay. Kaiza, okay, so the guys say, Smart Brain says, hey, you give us the belts, we'll fucking revive Mari, the woman who you love more than anything else and who you're willing to kill for. And he says, no, because I want to destroy Smart Brain, actually. Since when did he hate Smart Brain so bad that he's willing to throw away the only person he ever loved for it?
I don't know. He hated Smart Brain's guts for a long time during this plot.
What was the igniting action of that? I don't remember.
I don't think there was.
I mean, they're just.
It hasn't been explained yet.
They're an evil corporation, but, like, he. I guess he just hasn't shown his thing yet. I guess maybe it was the basement. Maybe? I don't know. Just finding all that shady shit.
Maybe it was because of the reunion. Something that happened at the reunion.
Maybe. Probably, actually. Probably the reunion.
Do you remember when you were, like, everybody in the Ryusei school was an orphanok, and that's why they can all use the belt?
Yeah.
Or whatever, or everybody, like, they can't use the belt and it's killing them because they're orphanoks.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that Takumi was using a belt?
Yeah, because he's an orphanok.
Yeah. So you had the exact opposite idea about the belts.
Yeah. I thought, because I knew Fies was an orphanok. So I said, okay, the Fies belt can only be used by orphanoks, but I couldn't say that because it'd be a spoiler for people who didn't see it.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, so the Fies belt can only be used by orphanok, but the Kaiza belt can only be used by non-orphanoks.
The Kaiza belt's secret has not been revealed yet.
It has another secret?
Probably.
It has a secret? I thought the secret was just that it kills any non-orphanoks it uses.
You'll find out.
Oh, boy.
You'll find out, bitch. Our next email is from Jetto Jaguar.
Jetto Jaguar.
Who says, hey there, Jeff and Liam. I'm really glad you guys are still watching Fies. In the last podcast, you commented about Sawada / Spider Orphanok, but didn't say anything about the music he hears when he kills people, which leads me to assume you're watching the DVD version. In the original version that was broadcast on TV, the song was a very different one that I think you'll find quite interesting. Thanks, guys. Looking forward to the next episode. And he linked to it, which you'll have to dig out of the email to put in the blog post.
Is it remarkable?
It is very remarkable.
Let me listen to it right now. I want to hear it. Link it to me.
Fuck, I have to go into my email on my computer.
Oh my god.
I had my phone up. I'm not even fucking logged into that.
I want to hear it, though.
Jesus Christ.
I want to do this man justice who emailed us. This Jet Jaguar fellow.
This is going to be fun to edit out.
Oh, it's just highlighting and deleting.
I'm going to highlight your fucking life signs.
You already made that joke.
I'm going to highlight your pulse. Delete it.
Do it.
How about that shit?
Fuck, I'll come back as an Orphanok.
You'll come back as the, like, sea cucumber Orphanok.
Yeah, and then I'll fucking stuff my cucumbers up your ass.
You would.
Yeah, I would. No one likes that.
I really feel like there are people that like that.
A couple people. What the fuck? I like this way more. This is like something out of Jet Set Radio. This is way better than the DVD
version.
It's
a Busta Rhymes song.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a remix of Criss Cross's Jump by Busta Rhymes.
That is way
where
better.
Where he says the N-word constantly.
This is, oh yeah, this is way fucking better than the DVD version.
Which is very noteworthy, I think. But it's funny that you bring that up, Jetto. Because
Mr. Jaguar.
I thought that was a fucking fever dream that I had back when I first watched this. Because when I was like really looking forward to talking about that, and it got to it and didn't play it.
It's just like this generic club music in the DVD
version.
And
I was like, oh, did I misremember that? Was that maybe like a edit somebody did? Or so I just kept it to myself. But thank you for sending this and proving that I'm not crazy and this shit was actually in a children's show.
I'm glad I got to experience that. That makes me see Sawada in a much more positive light.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
We have a rather lengthy email from Don Piantis.
Don Piantis? Piantis? Okay.
Hey, RCR. Don Piantis here from Canada. Been following your podcast through YouTube. Fuck Canada. Been following your podcast through YouTube for several months since the end of Ghost. Not sure you guys read YouTube comments, but I once commented how listening to you guys was like listening to South Park's creators, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, during their interviews, which still holds true. I guess that's a compliment.
Is that is that a compliment? I haven't heard their interviews. Is that a good thing?
I don't
know.
Maybe they're giant shits.
I'll take that as a compliment. They're funny guys.
Yeah. Fat Dan, LOL. It's also nice to hear what other people think from their perspective, and I also like how you guys favor early Heisei. Man, I miss how Kamen Riders had their own personal lives.
Damn straight.
It took me a while to email you guys because I was testing myself whether following you was a personal fad that dies out after a few months. Apparently he once followed Conan O'Brien massively.
That's
like,
worth
I'm guessing in the streets.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And then dropped it like a hot potato.
We've all had that phase.
Fucking stalking Conan O'Brien phase. Everybody goes through it. Also because I wanted to hear how you guys reacted to the last X8 episode, since it was a giant shift in X8's plot, which was awesome. Poppy's place in X8 finally works, even though she's brainwashed.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I'm gonna start skipping around a bit.
Sure.
Disappointed that the show doesn't have a new theme song. He wanted to mix it up in a while.
I don't think Ryder's ever gonna do two theme songs in one season. Which sometimes is, they do. I think Kuga and Aikido had remixes of their theme
Blade
songs.
Had,
oh
Blade
yeah,
had completely different songs.
Blade had Blade Brave and Elements. I forgot
yeah,
about
Elements
that.
Elements is way better than Blade Brave too.
Yeah, so a couple of them have them, but not really. Not it's not the status quo.
He says he couldn't fully enjoy X8 between Laser's death and Genmu's death, even though it had some R8 highlights. He felt like he was being held back by something, which he can't figure out. Compares it to Gaim, his favorite Neo Heisei series.
Damn
straight. Feels like X8 got a little too formulaic.
There was definitely like a lower point in yeah. the somewhere in the first half, yeah.
The characters were uninteresting except Emu, Dan, and Parod. Poppy went from a negative to a positive factor now, and Fat Dan is like Oren. He's bored with Hero.
Hero, I wish they'd fucking do something with.
Yeah. He's, I'm sorry I'm skipping around. I probably seem like a giant asshole that I'm doing this, but it's a very long email.
It's late.
He still likes Xaid more than some Neo Heisei series, even though he wishes Xaid being a Kamen Rider didn't align with his job. And we both agree with that.
Yeah.
It'd be great if his job was being a regular-ass doctor, and being a Kamen Rider was completely unrelated.
I wouldn't mind if next season they had a Kamen Rider who's like, you know, just, I'm a waiter or something, and I just have to balance that around being a Kamen Rider as well.
Yeah, has a normal-ass job.
Yeah.
P.S. About one of the questions you guys answered a few weeks ago, switching Tendo and Kagami as first and secondary riders doesn't feel like it would work. And he goes into why that is, but I did want to mention that and point out that we didn't say we would switch them. We talk all the time about how Kagami is actually the main character, even though Tendo is the main rider.
Yeah, Kagami's like, he's the anchor point, he's the relatable one.
Yeah, he's the protagonist of the story. Mm. Tendo is the main character of the series because he's the rider, and that's it. That's the only reason he is quote-unquote main character.
Yeah, and I like that
formula. I wouldn't ever touch their relationship to one another.
Yeah.
That's way too integral to what makes the series so interesting.
Like switching Kuga and Ichijo.
Questions. 1. Since this is my first time emailing you guys, I'm going to start off with something simple. What is your favorite rider kick and why? Because it's practical, ridiculous, or cool?
Oh my god. I like the... Oh, Jesus.
It's a tough question, isn't it?
I'm going to say I like Stronger's Super Electro Inazuma kick. Where it's when he's charged up, he does like this super fucking ridiculous drill kick with all kinds of sparkler effects, and it murders the shit out of you no matter who you are. And I think the only one who ever got up and walked away from it was, of course... Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of... No, I don't think anyone ever walked away from it. No. It's a great kick. It's I like old Showa. Like, a lot of the effects of old Showa movies are just sparklers. Old Showa shows, they're just like, like little sparkly sparks on the side. Stronger is full of that shit. And that particular kick is full of that shit. I love that kick. So yeah, definitely the Super Electro Inazuma kick is mine. How about you, Jeff?
Does it have to be like a single rider kick? Because double rider kick is absolutely my favorite in all of history. When Rider 1 and Rider 2 do a double rider kick.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I'd say that counts. That's
absolutely my favorite. I also have a really soft spot for Joker Extreme.
The one where he splits in half?
The one where he splits in half, yeah. And does two rider kicks.
That one's weird.
It's weird as fuck and I love it.
How does that feel?
I don't want to think about
it. It's gotta feel weird.
I actually like Drive's, where he bounces around on the fucking cars like car like a pinball.
Yeah, I was gonna say Drive was one of the things I thought of. He is a cool one. That's
really fucking cool. Those are my choices with a Z.
Okay. The cool choices.
2, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot, but if you guys were a Kamen Rider, which ability would you abuse for your personal gain?
Which ability would I abuse for my personal gain?
For example, Deno with time travel, Forze for easy rocket travel, Double for someone controlling half your body.
You know what would happen if I had the Deno belt and could go back in time? I would play the lotto. I would never do any superhero shit. I'd just ride that train back and pick the lotto numbers until I was a millionaire, and then say, okay, fuck you, Imagines, I don't need you anymore.
Yeah, I probably would too, to be real honest.
I'd use time vent to pull that shit.
Time vent?
That's
honestly, clock up would be the one that I would use all the fucking time.
Oh my god, the shit you could do with clock up.
I would clock up.
The and murders just you could accomplish.
Yeah, you could just kill anybody and there's nothing anybody could do about it.
All the people that we want to kill, of course, in our day-to-day lives.
all the Liams that I want to
kill. All the Liams that you want. You'll never find me.
Fucker. I'll fucking find you if I have clock up, bitch.
That's true.
I'll use hyper clock up and go back in time and kick you as a baby.
That's not fair.
You're damn right it isn't.
I'll have Fize's Excel, then I'll move as fast. Move as fast
for,
as clock up.
For a few seconds.
Whatever. 3 seconds is all I need, baby.
Yeah, that's what your girlfriend said. thanks for reading. Hope this isn't overwhelming to read, and looking forward to the next podcast for last. Don Piontis, thanks for writing in. It was a bit overwhelming, but it was worth it.
I walked right into that premature ejaculation joke, didn't I?
You damn right.
It was the baby at the end. I gotta watch that in the future.
Our last email.
Final email. We saved the best for last.
Don't say that, because it's not. I'm gonna have to cut it.
Don't give this guy a big head or anything.
Our last email is from Satoshi, not one word.
Satoshi, okay.
Says, have you guys seen Go Rider episodes 1 and 2 yet? And if so, what are your thoughts on
them? Oh shit, Go Rider is out. I heard people talking about that and I didn't see it
yet.
Yeah,
neither of us have seen it. Maybe we'll talk about it next time.
Look, oh man, I got a lot of Toku to watch this week.
Yeah, no doubt. thanks for reminding us, Satoshi.
She, okay.
And that's all for emails this time around. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode as much as I hated making it.
So send us an email if you want to be featured in the show. That's RiderClubRadio@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter for the hottest singles in your area looking for love at RiderClubRadio.
You know, if there was a dating site for Kamen Rider fans, I'd probably try it.
I would burn that site to the ground.
I'd try it just out of curiosity. Just, you know, what kind of
God,
people
I don't
would
wanna
I find?
See, I don't want to see what people who look like me would be on that fucking site. That's disgusting.
I mean, if the people on there were half as attractive as I was, it'd be worth it. So, you know, just like
I mean,
no,
if you like sewer mutants, you can't go wrong.
Just like go, just be like bad. You know, like Ryder, your favorite Ryder Suzuki.
So who's your favorite rider? I got a big dick. Here's a photo. And it has the fucking, like, Brazzers watermark in the corner. I don't think this is your photo.
I got a big dick. Here's a photo. It's a picture of Kusaka.
It's fucking, there's a Brazzers logo. And she's like, I don't think that's your dick. And you're like, shut the fuck up. Don't ever say I went to that reunion. Wait, I'm sorry.
Like, that was an unnecessary outburst.
I didn't mean that, baby.
I really wasn't at the reunion, though.
Don't ask me about the reunion fucking ever.
I swear to God, I'm watching you sleep.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Same rider time, same rider channel.
See you.
Peace.
It's real.